Amen. It's really good to see you all this morning. Every week for the past 8 weeks, I have said we are in a series called The Power That Still Prevails. Okay, well, this is the last one in that series. So to cap it off, we're going to be answering 7 most commonly asked questions that people have who are seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the physical evidence of speaking in tongues. I'm really excited about today because this is like the consummation of 8 weeks, you know. And I hope you've been praying about receiving, if you need to receive. I hope you've been praying for those that need to receive, because I want to see some things happen today. Amen? Amen. Okay. Some of the common roadblocks, if you will, that are often encountered, and I'll only give you 3 of those, are wrong teaching about the Holy Spirit has been received by people. And there are times that it's hard to get that wrong teaching set aside, okay? Especially if it was someone that you respected that taught you that. But I want you to know that it doesn't matter how much you respect somebody, they can be wrong. Hello? Oh, come on. Hello? That's why it's up to you to look in the Bible yourself to see if what's being preached is really the truth, all right? Secondly, sometimes people who need, they just need things intricately explained, okay? And they struggle to receive because they're almost, and I don't know if you can be this, but almost too intelligent, okay? And it's faith that's really needed to receive from God. Okay. Will you hold on just a minute, please? Just please, all right? Bow your heads. I'd appreciate that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just needed a minute there, okay? Sometimes people are actually afraid of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is going to overtake them, and they will be helpless and unable to control themselves. All of this, and much more that I'm sure you have heard, is just not true. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's the devil that tries to eliminate a very powerful tool that God has given to his church. And he will lie, and he will tell you things that are just not true. They'll sound true, but they are not true. So let's begin with our Bible declaration, if we could, if you would stand with me. This is part 9 of this, The Power That Still Remains. Anyway, I don't have to tell you, I guess. Raise your Bibles in the air and repeat with me, all right? Repeat it loud today, okay? Okay. I want, if I had a tie on, I want my tie to fly backwards. So repeat it loud. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it, and I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. Many people have many questions about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We know from reading Scripture that it's real. Amen? Are you with me? And that Jesus himself experienced it when he was baptized in the Jordan River by John. Okay, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all say that the heavens were opened and the Spirit of God descended like as a dove on Jesus. And from that point on, the Holy Spirit remained on him, okay, the rest of his lifetime in his earthly ministry. In fact, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is what launched Jesus into his God-given, divine-driven ministry. Amen? That was when he really started to do what he was sent to do. And that ought to speak to us this morning, okay? If we want to minister in the power of Jesus Christ, and I don't know about you, that's what I want to do. Amen? 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 Yeah, okay. Well, then we have to look at what he had and what we can get, okay? Everything changed. Say, everything changed. Everything changed. When the power of the Holy Spirit filled Jesus. And that same amazing person or same amazing spirit of power wants to fill every fiber of your being today. So we're going to answer seven common questions this morning that are asked about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Is that all right with you? And hopefully over the past 8 weeks, or eight times that I've preached, you've gotten a grasp on who the Holy Spirit is and understood that, there's a relationship to be had with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit can actually be jealous, okay? But then I'm going to answer these seven questions, and this isn't all the questions, I'm sure, but these seven that I think are most commonly asked, all right? Serenity, would you come up and pray for the message, please?
Father, I thank you that we have this privilege and honor. I will never, ever take that for granted. I never take it for granted.
Yes, Lord.
God, not everybody has this honor and privilege to come boldly to your throne of grace publicly and openly to worship you in spirit and truth.
Yes.
You deserve so much more than what we can give.
That's right.
Father, I thank you that God, your word will be heard. It will be received. God, we take authority right now over all doubt and unbelief and all fear, and we cast it out in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, will rule, reign, and have dominion here in this place today.
Yes.
I thank you that your word will go freely and boldly to every heart, and it will be received in faith by the power of your Holy Spirit, God. Nothing. We are nothing without your presence. We are nothing without your Holy Spirit in us, working in us and through us. It's the same Spirit that you used when you raised Christ Jesus from the dead, and it dwells in us, God.
Yes, God.
And it quickens our mortal bodies. And we thank you for it, God. We thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. The first question that I'm going to hopefully clear up is this. Does someone have to pray for me to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Actually, no. It doesn't have to be that way. They don't. You can receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit by praying alone or by having someone pray with you. It's the same thing as receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can pray with someone at the altar of a church, or you can repent of your sin and invite Jesus into your heart on your own, in your own home, or in your car. It doesn't matter, okay? In both cases, the location and the number of people present doesn't matter because that isn't the issue. The only thing that you need, say, I need this, is an open mind and a sincere heart that's praying to God and expecting in faith, all right? Because just like salvation, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a work of God's grace. It can happen anywhere. How many of you are happy this morning that it doesn't matter where you are, you can still experience God's grace? Amen? Amen. All right. I'm going to go through this rather quickly because at the end we're going to pray for people that want to receive, you know. And understand one thing here, and I've said this a number of times. Whether or not you speak in tongues doesn't at all declare how mature you are in the Spirit, okay? Or how overly blessed you are than someone that doesn't, okay? So it's not about that. You aren't, you aren't a better Christian because, all right? It's just that it's a power that we can all have. Are you with me? It's a power that we can all have that Jesus made available to us, so why do we not take advantage of that very thing?
Amen.
All right. Number two. Why should I pray in tongues? I mean, what's the point? I mean, I hear people praying in tongues. I don't understand it. Well, the Apostle Paul answered this question in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, when he said, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." And back in verse 2 of the same chapter, he said this, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God." So when you pray in tongues, what happens is your spirit is speaking directly to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Directly to God. Jesus said this in John 4:24. God is spirit. All right? So when you pray in tongues, your spirit is speaking the language of the Spirit. Okay? which is the language of God or the language of heaven. And don't misunderstand, there's great value in praying with your understanding. I mean, you should do that, definitely. There is no doubt, okay? But there is also great value in praying in the Spirit, which is praying in tongues. Okay, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 14:15. I pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. So one doesn't cancel the other, okay? So you do both. When you pray in tongues, your spirit becomes, how can I say this, kind of fine-tuned to God's Spirit, okay? And then your mind and your spirit come into agreement. One thing that we have to realize is that our minds are very limited where the Spirit is concerned. There will be times when you find yourselves in a situation and you won't be able to think of how or what to pray. Have you ever been that way? Someone has approached you and asked, you know, I need you to pray this for me, and you're going, I don't know how to pray for you. I just don't. But that's going to happen because our human vocabulary isn't sufficient enough, okay, to express what needs to be prayed. And that's a fact. But we have tongues. But if we will pray in tongues with our spirit, we'll bypass our mind. Are you with me? Just stay with me. And have an unlimited spiritual vocabulary to speak directly to God and express exactly what needs to be prayed in that moment. And the devil won't have any idea what you are praying. Hello. You ought to shout about that one, okay? Sometimes I think that that is one of the greatest things about being able to pray in tongues. People say, I don't understand what I'm saying when I speak in tongues. That may be true, but neither does the devil. All right? Neither does the devil. And that's why we speak in tongues. It's a language between you and God. I'm not talking about there's a gift of tongues that with interpretation and prophecy. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your spiritual, personal gift that you can receive. Okay. How often should I speak in tongues? And the answer is we should pray in tongues regularly. Okay? We really should. In 1 Corinthians 14:18, Paul said this, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Okay? And we have to understand something here. Paul himself was highly intellectual, okay? He was terribly intelligent. And he wrote the majority of the New Testament, which has been and continues to be the doctrinal foundation of the Christian faith since its inception. Amen? And he said this, okay? I speak in tongues often. Okay? I speak in tongues often. When Paul said that, when he said, I speak with tongues often, the words I speak is the Greek word lalo. Okay, say lalo. That's an easy one. Which means I converse, or I speak fluently, or I speak conversationally. Okay? This tells you and I that tongues was a very real language to him. Okay? A very real language to him. And he spoke it fluently. And it's a very real language to you and I also as we strive to follow what is the greatest apostle, right? The greatest apostle that we've ever heard of as we seek to follow his example and speak in tongues often. In fact, Paul said this. He said he spoke in tongues more than you all. Say more than you all. I want you to hear this right now a minute. Do you realize how much scripture I'm giving you here this morning? And you want to tell me that tongues has passed away? Then you can throw half the Bible away, and I don't think you should ever do that. Okay, I'm done. All right. That was free. Okay. The phrase more than is the Greek word malon. Okay, malon. Which means comparatively more, and the phrase you all means all of you combined. All right. This phrase was the equivalent of Paul saying, compared to everyone else, I speak in tongues more than all of you combined. I mean, I'm not talking about just speaking more than you, Josh. I mean, this whole room combined. He does it more, okay? He finds it that important that he does it more. And just think about it a minute. The spirit baptism with the evidence of speaking in tongues was so important that Paul explained at length about its importance in your everyday habits to include this one gift of speaking in tongues. Amen? Okay. Remember, when you speak in tongues, you speak divine mysteries, all right? Or the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And it's released in you and through you, speaking the language of the Spirit. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 14:2, you'll see what I mean. You don't have to wait, and please hear me, you don't have to wait for a certain feeling to pray in tongues. And you don't have to wait for goosebumps, all right? They are not required, all right? The thing of it is, and a man here one day came up to me and he said, Pastor Wes, I want you to know I've spoken in tongues twice. And I said very kindly to him, you know, why have you only spoken in tongues twice? And he said, well, that's the only two times that the Holy Spirit's ever come upon me like that. It's not about that. You learn your spiritual language, okay? You learn it. And as you speak it, and I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, and as you speak it, it builds. That's exactly what a baby does. Come on. When he starts talking or she starts talking, she can only say da-da or mama, but as they practice it more, what happens? They are able to pronounce more and more words, and that's the same way as it is in the Spirit. So you might hear that again in the message, but anyway. Just like you don't have to feel a certain way to speak in your native language, okay? I don't have to feel a certain way to talk, okay? I can talk a lot, and you've found that out. You don't have to feel a certain way to speak in tongues or in the language of heaven. You just open your mouth and speak the language of the Spirit because you know it, because God has given it to you, and it's different from everyone else's. Okay? All right. And I want you to understand that you are not overtaken by the Holy Spirit, and you don't lose all control. Okay? You know, it's not like, oh, God, all right, I'm going to do this. Maybe I'll have Josh do it. What do you think? No, I'll do it. But it's not like, you know, you can only speak in tongues and, you know, whatever. It's not like that. And please, if you'd have that teaching, throw that out. Amen. Throw that out. It's not like that. It's just like right now, I can speak in my prayer language because I know it, because I've practiced it, because I do it. All right. Please notice Paul says, I speak, okay? In other words, he is doing the speaking, all right, as the Spirit has taught him in the past and continues to teach him. But it is him that is doing the speaking. He's saying, I speak, all right, not someone else speaks. I'm not overtaken by something, and I can't help it, and it's just, this comes out of my mouth. He speaks. See, we are no different. He spoke in tongues. We speak in tongues. It is an action of our will, okay? All right. All right, so please remember, the more you speak in tongues, and this is a fact, the more your prayer language will grow. Like a baby, again, begins to speak and increases as they grow older. The same is with us. We will increase as we speak. When I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was at a special service at Central Assembly in the evening. And, you know, I got two words, and I felt weird, you know, it seemed funny, you know, and I had those two words, and why did I get two words when this person over here is just really, you know, rolling off? But I thought, well, hey, I got two words, and I was told to keep on saying those two words, you know. I guess kind of boring, but I did it anyway. And believe it or not, and this will help date this just a little bit, I was sitting in my bathtub with a boombox. Remember those? All right? You know, a boombox that big, playing worship music, and all of a sudden, it began to just flow. All of a sudden, you know, I received more. And again, but it wasn't past the point that I couldn't remember it, because I could. And the more I practiced it, the more I could remember it. Okay. Number four, and I'm not going through this as fast as I wanted to, but if I ask for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, how do I know that I won't get something from the devil? Jesus himself answered this question in Luke 11, 9, and 10, all right? He said this, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened," all right? Listen to how the Amplified Classic says it, and I absolutely love this interpretation. "So I say to you, ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks and keeps on asking receives. And he who seeks and keeps on seeking finds. And to him who knocks and keeps on knocking, the door shall be open. While Jesus' words are a principle, if you will, for it applies to all areas of our life, okay? His words here are very specifically tied to receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He went on to say this in Luke 11:11-13. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Okay, now listen to verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much, say this with me, is it underlined on there? It's not, but say this. How much more will your heavenly Father give, what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. We talk so much about seeking and knocking and asking, but I think so many times we forget that it's tied to the Holy Spirit. All right? Because it is. It is directly tied to it. The scriptures are very clear. You and I, we can know for certain that if we ask our Heavenly Father for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that he's going to give you what? The baptism in the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's guaranteed by the words of Jesus himself. So we don't have to worry about receiving something evil from the devil. All right? Because it's almost like it's a holy thing that we're asking, and God's going to take care of that. All right? That idea, the idea of it being from the enemy or from being from hell or being from a demon or whatever, that idea, my friend, is just another roadblock, say roadblock, that the enemy puts in our way because he is trying to keep you from asking God for what God already wants to give you. Amen? He fears the power from on high. Glory be to God. And a spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christian is someone that he fears because that person has what? The power from on high. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching wise. All right. Amen. Fifth reason. Do I have to have someone lay hands on me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Nope. You don't have to. You know, you do not need someone to lay hands on you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. However, say however, that's how it happens most times in the church, okay? That is just how it happens most times. Having someone pray for you, it will strengthen your faith, okay, and help you receive it, especially if that person, and we're going to have that today, especially if that person has already received it, you know, because they're going to pray for you to receive it, and they know. They don't even need faith anymore. They know, all right, that it's true. So by all means, ask someone to pray for you, and please take advantage of the prayer time today. And what we're going to do is we're just going to come to that prayer time and we're going to let our audience online go, you know, and then it's going to be us here and we're going to pray. But realize something here, okay? It's the biblical pattern, if you will, but you don't need someone to pray for you in order to receive the Spirit's infilling. It can happen when you're alone. Like Serena was sharing this morning in my office, she received it the night before she got prayed for to receive it, all right? And she received it like in a dream type deal. Yeah, she was just falling asleep, and she didn't speak it until the next day, but she really received it, okay, the night before. Okay, all right. That's enough on that. Number six, all right? Is speaking in tongues a requirement for being filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm going to make this statement, okay, and hear what I'm going to say, okay? If you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are going to speak in tongues, all right? You are going to speak in tongues. We established in the different parts of the series that the book of Acts gives us a clear pattern of how God works in individuals and in the church. And in every example, when the gospel is preached and a person surrendered their life to Christ, they were saved, right? Right? All right. And then they were baptized in water and in the Holy Spirit. When that happened, they spoke in tongues. And this is the New Testament pattern that was established. It's really what's called the biblical law of first mention. Okay? If they were filled, if the first time they spoke in tongues, then, you know, every time after that that you hear that they were filled, they spoke in tongues. But you don't have to even go by the biblical pattern. You can read it for yourself. Because there's many times that it talks about that. When Paul went and prayed for people, and he knew they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. How did he know? They spoke in tongues. Jesus said this in Luke 6:45, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we always think of that as being, if I got something bad inside, something bad is going to come out. But there's another side to it too, all right? When your heart is full of the Holy Spirit, your mouth is going to give expression to what you are full of. Amen? Amen. The overflow of the Spirit will be released in the language of the Spirit, which is the language of heaven, which is the language between you and God. And tongues are going to come out of your mouth when you open it and do the speaking. But again, understand, please, if you've received the teaching that you're going to be overcome and, oh my goodness, oh my gosh, you're not going to know what's happening in you're going to speak, that is not true. That's just not true. I can't exercise enough. I can't emphasize that enough, okay? We aren't overcome by the Spirit. We are yielding to the Spirit. We're yielding our understanding to the Spirit. Does that make sense? And that's, you know, when you come up today to be prayed for, those of you that would like to be filled, yielding is a huge part of it. You know, yielding and letting God do, letting the Spirit do what he wants to do inside of you. All right, I'll read number 7 to you because I could just talk about this all day. I've prayed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but I'm having trouble getting my prayer language. Why is that? Why? If you find this to be the case, it is likely, anyway, that your mind is getting in the way. Okay? Your mind's getting in the way. Like we mentioned at the beginning of this message, doubts and fears based on wrong thinking, past experiences, and wrong teachings. These all could be blocking you from experiencing and receiving all that God has for you. Does that make sense to you this morning? All right? So we need to overcome these obstacles. We need to get past this kind of stuff. And we need to continue to feed on the truth of God's word. And especially on the truth that it's God's will to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and empower you to live in victory. Amen? I want to hear an amen on that. Amen? Amen. Amen. And this is just amazing to me when I wrote it. But when you think about it, the truth is this. God himself desires you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit even more than you do. And you can say, well, I don't know, Pastor West, you know, I want it pretty bad. But think about it. I don't know how bad you want it. I hope you want it really bad, but he wants it even more than you want it. Okay? He wants you, and he wants you to have that established prayer language where you can pray to him when you don't know how to pray. Because there will be times, if there hasn't been times, there will be times when that happens to you. And as you learn to rest, okay, and put your trust in him, it's going to happen. See, God set this whole thing up from the beginning. Can you agree with me on that? Amen. He truly did. From the sending of his son to the crucifixion of his son to the resurrection of his son to the dispensation of the Holy Spirit for you and I. So we can speak with him and pray to him in a way that is between just us and him. All right? With the exclusion of the devil. He will never know what you're speaking when you're speaking in tongues. And I don't know about you, but I like that. Because sometimes when I pray for something in understanding, it seems like the opposite happens to me. Is that the devil? Sometimes it is. Okay? Not every time, but sometimes it is. So the idea that I can speak to God and only he knows is just, it's awesome. Listen, all right, God gave it. God still gives it. It's for today, and it's for you. I've heard a lot of people say this, okay? I've heard a lot of people say, I believe it, but I don't know if it's for me. But wait a minute. My Bible tells me God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't put one above another. And if he offers a gift, he doesn't give that gift to one and not another. Are you with me? Too often, that's really kind of an easy excuse, you know, to step aside from it. But I'm going to tell you here this morning that I know, as I know, as I know, as I know, okay, that God wants to baptize some people in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. You believe me?
Yes.
You know, and I really want to see that happen because I felt really, really, really impressed 9 weeks ago that I had to teach on the Holy Spirit and teach about a relationship with the Holy Spirit and how important it was and how it wasn't passed and done away with and how it's still available for us today. Our tongues emphasize too much? Yeah, I suppose sometimes it is, but that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about you receiving so that you can pray the language of heaven. Are you with me?
Yeah.
One last thing. And if you believe that, I've seen people pray for people and they've done strange things to try to get that person to speak in tongues. It's just spooky, okay? God is not spooky, all right? Say, God is not spooky. Say, he's supernatural. All right. And some of that spooky stuff that was done has been put in people's minds because they've heard it or read it or received it somehow. And again, how unfortunate is that we let that be a roadblock to what God has for us? How many of you would agree with this statement? If God has it for me, then I want it.
Amen.
Come on. I want you to hear me. If God has it for me, if I can read in the Bible that it's something that God wants for me, if God has it for me, then I want it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. All right. Pastor Josh, could you come up with your praise team?
Yeah.
And thank you for joining us online. But right now we're just going to be us. Great advantage to coming here. You can see the whole thing, okay? All right. Let's bow our heads.